This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia with Sharmila Ganesan and Kelly Anissa this Monday afternoon. Here are the stories we're covering this hour.
As part of a domestic abuse campaign in the UK, an award-winning chocolatier has created a durian-flavoured chocolate to represent domestic abuse because it is apparently the world's worst-tasting fruit. We talk about why so much of the world continues to get the durian so absolutely wrong.
And last week on Valentine's Day, a woman was brutally attacked in an elevator at the MRT station. We discussed the safety for passengers at railway stations. And we're also asking you, do you feel safe taking public transport? Yes, no, depending on the location and only at certain times of the day. To join the conversation today, tweet at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-773-32900.
We'll be back with more after Don't Bring Me Down by the Pretty Things.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Don't Bring Me Down by the Pretty Things. Thanks for sticking around. Our first story of the day, but before we get into that, Kelly, you have a Twitter poll.
Yes, so we're asking you, do you feel safe taking public transport? Yes, no, depending on the location and only at certain times of the day. So far, most of you have voted for depending on the location.
You can actually take our poll at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us your answers or your thoughts on the subject at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-773-32900.
Okay, on to our first story, Sharmila.
Yes, now this is something I feel very strongly about.
me too.
Last week, renowned chocolatier, I like to say chocolatier.
It sounds so sophisticated, Sharmila.
Chocolate maker. So this renowned chocolate maker in London called Paul A. Young came out with a box of chocolates to highlight domestic abuse. It's created in partnership with the Women's Trust, which is a women's organization in the UK that works with battered women and provides services like counselling. This box basically contains three salted caramel chocolates and one that is meant to represent domestic abuse. And that chocolate is durian flavoured. So he calls it chocolat dégoûtant, which translates into disgusting chocolate.
Now, the campaign describes the durian as the world's worst tasting fruit. And Paul Young explained his decision by saying, chocolate is associated with luxurious, indulgent and pleasurable experiences, which leave you wanting more. By contrast, the durian, like domestic abuse, stays with you long after your first encounter. He also said that the fruit's aftertaste gives people a taste of the heartbreaking emotional and psychological trauma experienced by survivors of domestic abuse.
So basically, this chocolatier and this campaign is equating the taste of durian, which many people in Southeast Asia eat regularly and enjoy, with the trauma and the pain of domestic abuse. I mean, we're all used to seeing tourists and viral videos from the West acting like durians are disgusting and eating it is some kind of spectator sport.
Yes, exactly.
But this campaign seems to take that insensitivity to a whole new level. And an article about the campaign on Eater London describes the campaign as an example of white feminism, where gender injustice ignores the ways in which things like racism and classism intersect with it. The article says, drawing a link between the experience of eating durian and domestic abuse others the fruit, removes its context and links it to pain and trauma.
So actually, the reactions to the durian amongst people from the West is really one of those things that constantly annoys me, because it really smacks of not just cultural ignorance, but borders on being really derogatory. Mm. And there's so much packed into it, right? There's this exoticizing of cultures that they're not familiar with. Sometimes outright racism, a lot of disrespect towards a practice that a lot of people actually value and enjoy. So there seems to be very little awareness or consideration that this is an actual food item and not just some silly dare. For instance, here's audio from a video that was done by Mashable in 2017, where a bunch of people in the US react to trying durian for the first time.
It tastes like boiled butter. It's not great. I'm not gonna have this again.
What is this? It just tastes like eggs, but really bad eggs. that's been left out for a really long time, for like years.
This is gross.
Oh God. Every time I think it tastes good, it just starts tasting horrible again. It smells like a trash bag, it tastes like a trash bag.
The texture is what's throwing me off. I'm not having, oh no, 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 no. Actually, it starts to taste kind of good the second half. I don't know, when it kind of makes its way down, it kind of clears up, but then the back half of it, terrible again.
It tastes like spoiled pineapples baked in an oven with onions.
Now, when I watched this video 2 years ago, I remember actually being very, very annoyed. Partly because, I mean, first of all, dude, like, how do you know what a trash bag tastes like?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, if you've been eating trash bags, we have bigger problems.
Right.
I love durians. I grew up in a durian town. Entering the town from the nearest city means driving past this roundabout that's the size of a football field. In the middle of it is a huge durian statue thing, right? There's a lot of pride in durian. Yeah. And for me, durian is, I equate durian with love and aww, family relationship, you know, yeah, because when I come home, I know my parents, if it's durian season, they're going to have, you know, gunny sacks of durian waiting for me. You know, it doesn't make me think about domestic abuse.
No, and that's the thing, right? Like this kind of campaign and these kind of very flippant reactions, very one note, ignores a lot of the cultural ties and the context that something like the durian has. Like, I mean, I didn't grow up in a durian town. I'm very much a urban person, but for me, durian has memories of family again, because there's always that, you know, especially growing up, it was seasonal. So everyone waited for durian season, and then we'd go and buy these like bags of durian, and then we do like a durian party and everyone in the family would get together, even the people who didn't particularly enjoy it, and you know, you're allowed not to like something,
true,
would still gather around, and it became like a time to spend time together as a family.
And I think that for me, the problem with the video was the words they used to describe it, the attributions that, you know, like, so I've seen some people describe the taste of durian like of socks, and then someone else described it as tasting like blue cheese. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just the words that they use. It's very rude, like without taking into account that the fact that this is, you know, to some cultures, it's a very, like you said, like the fruit has meaning, it reminds you of family and whatnot.
And the fact that someone would use it in a campaign that is about something as traumatic and as important as domestic abuse, really, I mean, I think that article that you mentioned, Tina, makes sense. It really others an experience that belongs to a culture that has specific meanings and kind of not just minimizes the fruit and the cultural experience, but minimizes domestic abuse too.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it should be said that the reaction to the durian from the Western world isn't always uniformly negative. For instance, 19th century British naturalist Alfred Russel Wallace is actually credited with coming up with the title of the King of Fruits for the durian. And he described it in this way in his writings. He called it a rich butter-like custard, highly flavored with almonds, gives the best general idea of it, but in mingled with it comes wafts of flavor that call to mind cream cheese, onion sauce, brown sherry, and other incongruities. It is perfect as it is. The more you eat of it, the less you feel inclined to stop. In fact, to eat durians is a new sensation worth a voyage to the East to experience.
But this idea of discovery and appreciation very often turns into a kind of judgmental view of people who are different.
Yes.
And food in particular becomes a way of making particular cultures seem weird or somehow lesser than themselves. Even Anthony Bourdain once said that the durian fruit will leave you with breath that smells as if you'd been French kissing your dead grandmother.
Oh, that's a bad image.
Right? And yes, maybe a lot of it is just for laughs, but, you know, and even like the video we heard from Mashable, maybe they're just doing it because they know that they're being filmed, so they want to overreact. Right?
Yeah.
What impression does this create of people who actually do eat and enjoy such foods?
Exactly.
So we spoke earlier today to Kathy Rowland, culture commentator and managing editor of Arts Equator, about this issue. It's become somewhat of a challenge or sport with non-Southeast Asians to try durian, and often with disgusted or appalled reactions. What do you think drives this kind of behaviour?
I think it's the intersection of two different things, one of which is very old, Orientalism, and the other of which is fairly new, the attention economy. And they both complement each other in this case. So you've got content that is made for an audience that has been conditioned by decades and generations of social conditioning to view anything that is from the third world, be it from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America, as exotic, incomprehensible, that has a whiff of being uncivilized. This idea, for example, of stinky Asian food. And on the other hand, you can also bank on the fact that the same content is bound to raise an uproar against people who identify with the kinds of cuisine, for example, that you are poking fun at. And that guarantees that you've got something that might go viral, you have got something that will draw a lot of clicks and will, you know, that you can then perhaps monetize.
So is this offensive or culturally insensitive behavior?
Yes, I think in a word, it is offensive and it is culturally insensitive. I might differ from a lot of people in the sense that I don't necessarily think that even though it is insensitive and culturally disrespectful, I don't necessarily think that some of the corresponding outrage that it's met with is necessarily helpful or justified, because I think we're feeding the beast.
So what are the cultural politics at play in a situation like this?
I think what feeds this kind of behavior is ignorance, it's being tone deaf, it's not really having had to view things from a position of disadvantage, a position of being on the sidelines, of being a minority. What's sad about this particular instance is that it's a worthy project. It's a project against domestic violence. But I thought it was interesting that the chef, Paul A. Young, said that they chose durian for this particular project because of its polarizing nature. You know, and it seemed to be implicitly drawing a parallel between the consumption of a particular fruit that some people might find unpalatable and therefore is polarizing because some might like it and some might not, and both might be correct. But he draws it as in parallel to domestic abuse, and I can't see anything polarizing about domestic abuse. Surely there can't be anyone who has half a brain who thinks that it is anything but evil.
And do you think that the internet and social media allow the affected culture or people more of a voice now, more of an ability to criticize such offensive or exoticizing behavior?
James Williams, who used to work with Google and is now a philosopher at Oxford University, has said this in his book, Stand Out of Our Light. He says that there is no such thing as neutral technology. And I quote, "All design embodies certain goals and values. All design shapes the world in some way. A technology can no more be neutral than a government can be neutral." And I think that the environment that we're living in now, in answer to your question, really is one that is shaped by technology. As much as we can laud and be cognizant of the fact that there are many wonderful benefits that technology has given us, but I think it's also becoming abundantly clear that it also brings with it some profound changes to the way that we live. And as Professor Williams says, if everyone is using your technology, then you are shaping society. And the, you know, so what it's done is it's monetized outrage, it's weaponized opinion, and it's created a whole, I want to say cottage industry, but in fact it's not. It's created a whole economy with tentacles into every aspect of our lives that really thrives on controversy, and it thrives on just enraging people in order to get eyeballs.
That was Kathy Rowland, culture commentator and managing editor of Arts Equator. I found her points about the sort of outrage culture of the online world very interesting, right? Because actually it is these viral videos and social media that has helped to, in many ways, popularize this, even this idea of eating something on video and talking about how gross it is. And then there's that reaction, and then there's the argument. I don't know, to some extent, are we overreacting a little bit to these kind of reactions to the food that we eat?
I don't think so, because we have been kept silent for generations. And I think that now that we have the tool, the platform to speak up, we should, because otherwise then you would continue getting this kind of, in a way, cultural abuse, isn't it?
Yeah. It actually reminded me of this episode of that sitcom, Fresh Off the Boat, where it's an Asian family. And the boy in middle school in the US gets made fun of for bringing Asian food to school. And I think this is an experience that a lot of immigrant kids have. But even for us, right, when we have tourists coming over, I remember... in Singapore, actually, eating durian with a friend, and this group of French tourists basically standing there and gawking at us. And then one of the guys actually came up to me and goes, "So you have no problems eating that?" And I'm like, "No, obviously not. And how dare you come and intrude on my experience with your sense of judgment? I mean, you want to try it, you don't want to try it, that's up to you. But by asking that question, you're making me feel weird, right? You're making me feel like there's something wrong with me because I enjoy this thing that to you perceive as being disgusting."
Yeah.
And that is the very idea of othering someone and minimizing someone else's experience.
Yeah.
I mean, and as far as this being a campaign, I do agree with Kathy that, even the mere idea of using this term, that it's polarizing.
That's such a problematic argument.
Yes,
from the...
because who is polarized about domestic violence?
Exactly. I mean, it's like, let's give an example that perhaps the Western world will understand, like Marmite or cilantro. Yeah. If you have a cilantro-flavored chocolate, some people like cilantro, then how? You know, you're not going to get the message across. Same with Marmite, right?
Exactly.
Why can't you just, since the other three are salted caramel chocolate, then maybe the one that you want to represent domestic abuse, get too much salt. It is assaulted.
Oh, yeah. Not bad.
That's good. That's a good one.
So, I mean, that would be so... I mean, it's the world's most popular spice. It is not offensive at all, I feel.
And actually, the ETA article that you quoted earlier points out how we have enough means and flavors to make, ideas that are like the Bertie Bott's Harry Potter, every flavor beans, right? Where they have vomit flavored jelly beans and snot flavored jelly beans. Right. I mean, those are things that are unequivocally disgusting.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a point, there are ways to make a point that do not need to trample on someone else's culture.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but as a campaign, even, is just very well, very badly thought out, very one note and not creative at all.
Indeed. Yeah. I think some music to calm us down.
Yes, please.
Before we get into our next story, here's Ben E. King with First Taste of Love on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.